courtside of the virtual hardwood, it's the NLSC podcast, episode number 286. Andrew with you once again. I'm joined by Ben, also known in the forum as Arcane.
Hey, hey.
The NBA finals are upon us, Ben, or almost. The Eastern Conference finals have been decided, and we now know it's going to be the Warriors and the Raptors. Who picked that before the season began?
Not many people, I assume. Maybe like 5-10% people assumed it.
I think the Warriors were probably picked by a lot of people, I suppose, but
yeah.
The Raptors, certainly when they got Kawhi Leonard, was probably a few people made that pick, but I think the Bucks were definitely the favorites as they raced out in the season, but four straight games for the Raptors, and they actually become the first team from the 90s, Ben, to make the finals.
Wow. That's a pretty big deal.
And it's that's obviously over 20 years ago now that they entered the league, which makes me feel old once again. They are one of two teams that entered the league in the 90s, of course, the other being the then Vancouver Grizzlies, now Memphis Grizzlies. The last expansion team, Ben, do you know who the last expansion team was to win a championship?
Oh, not off the top of my head, no. Or maybe I know Miami came in at 88-ish from memory, so
yep,
maybe
them. That is right. That is the Miami Heat, the most recent expansion team, new team to win a championship. Of course, they weren't the first team from that era from the 80s to actually make the finals. That was the Magic in 1995. So when Shaq and Penny got there that year. But things are changing, I guess, in the NBA with LeBron out west and not in the playoffs this year either. It's kind of a brand new ballgame. The Warriors are pretty familiar, having been there the last 5 years, which is the most since the Celtics.
Yeah. This is I mean, we know Chicago would have if Jordan didn't retire, but for those basically 18 months.
Six and 8 years are still, I feel pretty good.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Pretty much a dynasty, I feel, in all respects. Six titles in 8 years, not too shabby after all. But if you had to make a pick, who do you think's going to get it?
I think it would probably be close to a sweep. I think Raptors could potentially steal one, I think. But I think Kawhi will obviously be outstanding for most of the series. I think Lowry will screw it up some way.
Yeah, he's not always playoff Lowry's not always been
consistent.
Been that consistent. He's had some pretty good outings this this postseason, of course. But you know, I'd like to think the Raptors could win. I'd love to see it there, even though they'll actually have home court advantage because they have one win better than the Warriors. They still pretty much the underdogs coming into the series when you consider how strong the Warriors are. Two-time defending champions, five straight NBA finals, of course. The Raptors are still, I would have to imagine, the underdogs in this series. I'd love to see it happen. It'd be really cool. I'm going to pick the Warriors in five, and if that ends up jinxing the Warriors, I won't be upset because I would love to see... I mean, they are a great team, don't get me wrong. You know, we're perhaps not the biggest Warriors fans because of some of the chicanery with Draymond Green and whatnot, but at the same time, respect...
And the snakeness of KD.
But respect where it's due. I mean... They have stayed on top. We thought last year they might be out, and the Rockets choked that one away, as they did again in the second round this year as well. I know you're not the biggest Harden fan either, I suppose, so it's a toss a coin and hope it doesn't come down between those two with you, I guess, Ben. But I suppose being that the Eastern Conference fan, I kind of default to them in most cases, depending on who's playing, of course. But hopefully it'll be a great competitive series as much as it can be anyway. I've been a bit in and out of the NBA this season, Ben, as I know you have been as well. But no, I'm looking forward to the finals. I hope it will be a great clash because it's if nothing else, even if the season has its ups and downs, you want to see something great for the championship round.
Yeah, you don't want it to end on a fizzer.
So we are here to talk about basketball video games, as we so often are. In fact, as we always are here on the NLC podcast, kind of what we do, Ben.
Yeah. Otherwise, why would we be here?
Sort of the whole point of the site, really, and the content that we produce. This week we are talking about online casuals and simulation, basically the focus of online play in NBA Live and NBA 2K. Before we get to our main discussion, though, we just want to recap a recent news item, and this is regarding NBA Live 19 getting a new patch in June, Ben, or to basically coincide with the NBA Finals, a new gameplay patch, and I guess we didn't see this coming. It was quite a pleasant surprise when the developers announced it over on the subreddit.
Yeah, I mean, both games have been, you know, haven't done too much in way of updates, like in terms of gameplay, you know, obviously roster updates. I think Live's probably done a couple more content updates in terms of like adding new things to the stores and stuff like that. But you know, 2K's been pretty quiet on that front, especially in the gameplay patch. I think the last one was around just when I got back from, or a couple of days just before I got back from Melbourne, so, or Victoria. So yeah, a couple of months.
Patch 1.24, released back in April, was the last major update. Of course, as you said, content updates coming through upon firing up the game. This new gameplay patch scheduled for June, according to the developers, it's going to have some of the biggest requests and suggestions that have been put forth by the community so far. So I guess we can expect a fairly substantial update. And some of the things that they have noted are shot contest impact, open layups and inside shots missing, frequency, I guess, there. Better balancing of dribble bumps and dribbling. A new feature to combat ball hogs online. And some other stuff. Now, some other stuff could hopefully include some really good stuff, but we won't know what that stuff is until they tell us what other stuff is. Those other four features, though, the other four notes, all sound good in theory. I mean, the impact of shot contests and open layups and inside shots, the frequency of them missing. And I have noticed, far as the dribble bumps and dribbling is concerned, it's really easy for the CPU especially to make you pick up your dribble. And even other users, so that has been an issue with Live 19. A lot of people have pointed that out, so hopefully that is being properly addressed with the frequency there. And certainly the feature to combat ball hogs online, and I guess this kind of ties into what we'll be talking about a bit later on in the show, really with our main discussion shortly, is, yeah, certainly that is something we've seen, probably more in 2K, since we've played a bit more 2K online this year than Live. But you do see it in Live as well. I've noticed that in the Live events, a lot of ball hogging, and I know you've seen it as well. It's so any kind of measure that discourages that and forces a bit more team play for live run and live events, definitely a good idea. I'm interested to see what they've actually done to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I think be cool to see if it turns out and what little tricks they've done to it. Because it's I'd imagine it'd be a very tricky thing to actually implement and find a way that works, and then trying to sort of step outside the box and see if there's ways to potentially exploit it and that. So, you know, if there's ways around it and stuff, and, you know, we do have a community that can be sassy when it comes to exploitive moves and stuff like that. Yes. So, I think that'll be interesting. Some other stuff is obviously...
intriguing.
yeah, to say the least. Wonder if it's going to, like, obviously all this stuff is looking to be put into Live 20. So, you know, whether this is, like, early tests to fine-tune and stuff like that for Live 20 would be, I'm guessing, is the main goal of it.
I'd say so, and I think that's a good move as well.
Yeah, you know, it's an early beta test, and, you know, you don't have to rely on the early demo and all that stuff to sort of, you can sort of get more of a heads up and go, okay, so it gives them more time to sort of see if it works or not, and to fine tune it before the game release, and that, instead of maybe like about another month or two
post release, basically. You don't want those first 2 months to be that an extended beta period, basically, because that is when you lose the games, you lose the retention, you see people streaming the game, you think, oh, that doesn't look good, you hear all the negative impressions. So the more they can do for NBA Live 20 to hit the ground running, so much the better.
I kind of, my mind was sort of thinking to, in a sense, to the Orlando trip, where it was like, well, you know, we're playing it, playtesting it there, then, you know, it's only really like a couple of months. So, yeah, I then realized what I was thinking as I was... or was realizing what I was saying, and so I had to stop myself, and I was like, oh, wait, no, it's only going to be potentially 2 weeks from the demo aspect, not... Yeah, so that's kind of why I weirdly stopped for a second. It was like, I realized what I was saying.
And especially at this point as well, at this point, the people playing NBA Live 19 are the real dedicated fans, the people who really want to make something of the game, the people who really care about NBA Live. And I suppose that's almost throwing ourselves under the bus, because we haven't been playing it as much. I know I'd like to. I just haven't been able to get into any of the modes. I actually don't really mind the gameplay that much this year. I do have my quibbles, obviously, but my big thing is not being able to sink my teeth into any of the modes, as I've said before. But that being said, I still do dust the game off and play it. Played the live events a couple of weeks ago and had some frustration there, and was and finally got some good teammates, which is going to come back to this ball hogs situation. Yeah, but I mean, you bring up a good point. What can you really do? I mean, do you make them the player automatically pass? You know, automatically trigger a pass if they hold the ball for too long, because then that's not always going to be strategic. You can't really have them force a turnover, because again, that goes against strategy, and it's also that's punishing their teammates, not just the ball hog.
Is there like a dribble fatigue or something like that? Or, you know, yeah, it'd be. I hate overusing the word like I have, but it is intriguing and interesting to see what it could be, and again, how effective it would be. And then,
yeah, because I can't really think of anything that I would suggest that doesn't have a downside for the teammates.
Yeah.
So, and you really, you only want to punish the ball hog. I mean, is there a way to band together and kick the player, maybe? I mean, that would be a way to do it, or a way to freeze them out, kind of thing. kind of automatically freeze them out. Interesting. I mean, is that fair? Is it unfair to everybody else to not have that? I guess we'll wait and see, but I'm glad that they're actually taking steps to do that, because as we'll get into in our main discussion, it is so important to preserve the quality and improve the quality, I should say, of the online experience in Live and 2K. And there's only so much you can do from a gameplay standpoint, because even if you have the perfect game, when you are playing with other people, the way they're playing it has such a big impact on your own enjoyment, as we've seen so many times.
Yeah, and there's a good case last night when you and I were playing Rec Center.
Oh, yes, and we'll definitely get into that. Maybe we won't mention the username for both. For both be nice, and because it was kind of a dirty username as well.
Yeah.
there was somebody that we'll talk about who would definitely, if they were playing live, I think this would be a good measure against them. So, yeah, I'm glad to see that. Glad to see them getting a big gameplay update. And hopefully any big things that they do implement, if they're successful, or again, if they can tweak them, that they do carry over into NBA Live 20. Because that's been the big thing as well, has not been. The whole idea of updates being made in the year, and it's really great, and the game gets really polished and better than launch, and then the next game comes out and it's missing those great updates, those great fixes.
We've
seen it in 2K as well.
Oh yeah, you know, 2K is notorious for it, and then it's months before they put the fix back in, and it's like, well, why didn't you keep the fix in there in the first place? And it was like, yeah, this. Sort of, you know, for the step forward they take essentially a massive leap backwards, and then have to double up on the work themselves in doing it. So yeah, it's kind of silly when you sort of see that happen, and it's like, just your mind, in terms of when you're trying to think of the logic of it, just doesn't make sense. It's like, yeah.
So you've been making these improvements surely for the next game as well. So
yeah,
two steps forward, one step forward, two steps back, I suppose, is the
yeah.
a common good saying here. But hopefully that won't be the case, and hopefully the patch will extend the life of NBA Live 19 a little bit longer as we wait for NBA Live 20, NBA 2K20 preview season not too far away. EA Play, I guess, within the next couple of weeks, Ben. So
yeah, I think E3 are technically kicks off in about 16 days, so, and I think EA plays 1 or 2 days before that, so yeah, essentially 2 weeks.
Not long now, the year is flying by, but we'll
keep
everyone informed about that, so stay tuned, and I'm sure when the patch comes out we'll fire up the game and see how it goes. Speaking of firing up the game, we have, as you noted, Ben, we were playing some Jordan Rec Center last night. We've still... you and I think we might be the last men standing on the NLSC squad at this point playing some 2K online.
Yeah.
although we did jump on last night so we could have some more impressions to talk about, and really have it fresh in our mind, I suppose, for this week's podcast. And yep. Really, as I said at the top of the show, we're talking about the focus of online play. And this is something we have talked about before, the idea that online play is not necessarily as sim as we'd like, as certainly as balanced as we'd like. And it does make you wonder, Ben, who it's being actually... Who is the core demographic of basketball gaming these days? Because for so long it was the simheads, but now, you know, is it?
Yeah, I don't see it being like. I think it's devolved. Like it definitely hasn't evolved into it. I think it's more about finding the most exploitive archetype build, the cheesiest dribble moves and shot releases, and paying for boosts, you know, or in paying to level up as soon as possible. So it's a shame that it is looking like it's going that way. You know, for you know what the game was supposed to be, and you know, show off your actual basketball IQ. Mm. It's not about basketball IQ. It's about exploitive IQ, finding ways to break the game instead of breaking down the game and using your smarts and talent to actually beat your opponents.
It's a strange, you know, like evolution or devolution, as you said, because for so long 2K was working up to be the premier sim experience, and yep. we've seen how great of a sim experience 2K can be, and how in depth they were getting with ratings and attributes, and that's kind of the same thing, I suppose. But all the additional attributes, the badges and traits and things like that that they've been able to put in over the years. They've had some really great sim games in the last decade or so, and we talked about that last week in the decade of dominance, and that's why they've been so dominant. And now it appears that they have moved away from that a bit, and it has been going more from the basketball tactics that they were really striving for to the quote-unquote video game tactics that we always, back in the 90s and the early 2000s and whatnot, we said, oh, we wish we'd see less of these video game tactics and more basketball, more virtual basketball. And indeed, of course, Dazar's phrase, don't play video games, play basketball.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it seems like, yeah, we have gone backwards to those early days, and well, technically even on a far more advanced scale that we've gone back. Yeah, it doesn't help too, like a lot of YouTubers or Twitch streamers, you know, they'll essentially be like dealers for showing you how to use exploiting, and you know, people will say, well, basically selling it in a lot of ways, and you wonder how I mean by selling it. You know, people subscribe to their channels, or you know, to and donate and all that stuff, so they kind of are selling it in that sort of way. So
I think they're really pushing that style of play, and yeah. Here I do have to acknowledge that we are on the upper scale of the demographic, I suppose, if indeed we are still in the core age demographic at this point, you and I being in our mid-30s.
Yeah.
It's possible that we are no longer the right there in the core target audience, and I freely acknowledge that. But it's strange that we have gone from this idea of, oh, make it as realistic as possible, to the most popular modes being My Career and, of course, the connected modes of Pro-Am and Walk-On, of course, Jordan Rec Center and Playground. It really seems to be, for an NBA game and an NBA sim, it's really about playing the modes that have nothing to do with reality. You know, playing in a virtual park as your player, who is presumably a lot better than any of us are in real life, I suppose, except for the NBA players who play NBA 2K. They're probably around about the same. In fact, they're maybe not as quite as good on the sticks as they are in real life. But there has been that shift to that focus on the playground. And I think the style of the playground has really spread to other modes, and we're even seeing it with live focusing on the streets over the NBA side of things. So we're really seeing that the focus on the playground style and the metagaming, and even doing things like, you know, dressing up your player in you know, cool clothes and things, that seems to be more important than strategic NBA gameplay.
Yeah, you know, it's style over substance.
Quite literally, I suppose, in some respects like that. And again, maybe we're just the old men, you know, yelling at clouds here, shouting at the kids and shaking our fists as they tell them to get off our lawn. But it is a shame, because I do think the great elements of a sim game are still in 2K, at least. Live has a bit of catching up to do there. But even playing offline, I think it's affected by the balance of the online mechanics. And it's gotten to the point where I don't even play My Career very realistically. I'm just looking to put up ridiculous stats to grind my player, mostly for online play. So there's really no incentive to play realistically. Now, I think that's different in a mode like My League, where you're controlling all the players and things like that, and you can adjust the sliders and the difficulty level, etc. But there is such a focus on online, to sometimes the detriment of offline gameplay. It's kind of a shame, and especially considering what we know that 2K is capable of, and even Live back in the day, Live hasn't gone quite as to the same level as 2K at 2K's best, but Live, you know, people always talk about it being arcade, but there's been some Live games that were pretty good sim games, you know, and achieved a pretty good level of realism for their era.
Yeah,
and it is a shame that it's become such a low priority in the NBA side of things as well, and It goes through everything, including even detail on the ratings for the legends and the NBA players doesn't seem to be as good as it used to be, because it's all about the online multiplayer experience.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, it's a shame, you know, that that's happened.
But
I did want to I was sort of thinking about this earlier.
Sure.
Just before dinner, and I was thinking that there's probably, because the discussion that we were having was casuals and simulation, and it's like I was thinking that there's probably maybe what could be three sort of four types of players.
Yep.
And I was thinking, you know, obviously the casuals, people who are young or new to the game and just trying out the modes, they might not have a higher basketball IQ, like in terms of X's and O's and all that stuff, but you know, they enjoy doing play for a bit of fun.
Yep.
Then you probably got us, who are more the social old heads, you know.
Yep.
We have a higher basketball IQ, and really the online experience is about us just sort of catching up and playing socially and all that stuff. You know, it's not, yes, we want to play and have fun and try and win, but we're not the ultra competitive that like be the sim hardcore or the exploitive sort of players. I think that'd be the next two levels after that. So
definitely,
I think that's
yeah.
probably a way to sort of look at it. And I think the sim heads, they'll definitely be competitive pretty much all across, and they'll try and use as much X's and O's as possible. But then you got the, and then you got the exploitive ones who will just cheese and milk and farm everything that they can to yeah, and they'll basically be like the poor hogs or the guys that just take shots from everywhere and anywhere and just have the cheesiest builds and stuff like that.
Sort of the competitive online gamers who are all about the metagaming. It's all about...
Yeah, exactly.
About that, yeah. No, I think that's a good way of putting it. There's definitely different types, and within those types, different tiers of players as well. To what level do you like sim? Can you go a bit more casual with it? Do you like a realistic style that's a bit more casual? Do you like the ultra-realistic style? So yeah, you can have different tiers, and I think that's a good... Those four groups are pretty much covered, I would say. I definitely agree with that. That's a great point there. I mean, I guess we'd kind of maybe fall within the second and third group as far as... depending what we play online to offline. Because playing my league, I would like to have a realistic experience. To an extent. Like, I would still like to be able to take a team like the Bulls and make them successful with good play on the sticks and, you know, make a few trades that maybe wouldn't happen in real life because Garpax. So, I mean, I don't mind playing with the realism a little bit, but at the same time, I would like to have that X's and O's based game. But yeah, that sliding scale of realism and casual. And yeah, one end you've got the really casual players, not other than the really competitive ones. And within those competitive ones, you've got the ones that are just all about the cheese and they don't want to play basketball. They do want to play video games, basically. They want to...
Yeah, exactly.
It's about mastering the mechanics, which you have to do, even if you do want to play a good game of virtual basketball, a realistic game of virtual basketball. You need to be good on the sticks as well. But it's all about, as you say, the learning all the cheesy exploits and the moves that always work and gaming the system with the metagaming and the builds, the cheesiest builds. And it really has become about that. And it's kind of a shame because, again, it bleeds over into the offline, and it goes back to a good friend, the X, you know, how he hasn't been able to enjoy either because his build doesn't really work for either online or offline this year, so he's basically given the game away.
Yeah, and, you know, again, sort of leading into, you know, decisions the gamers, like that the, you know, developers and the executives have made, you know, making the game such a grind, some people don't feel the incentive to start all over again and with a different build and that because it is such a painful grind. And again, this is what we have alluded to, that Live 19 or even 18 and stuff like that does better, you know, that, you know, the grind isn't ridiculously long. It's things that you have bought or earned and stuff like that, like the badges and things like that, you know, they transfer over if, you know, the player has it, if you change your build and stuff. So, you know, you're not starting from the basement again. You know, you're starting from, you know, a fair way into it. And, you know, you got some advantages and a less painful process to continue enjoying the game without it being another 300-hour grind.
This is a bit of a tangent, you know, to that point. But what if we could scrap a player and reinvest for cents on the dollar, so to speak, those XP, the my points and VC into a new player? Like, you wouldn't necessarily get 1-1. Like, if you made a 92 overall and you wanted to start again, they wouldn't immediately be 92. But you could get them up to, like, about 75 with half their badges or something. Like, you could recycle a player into a new build. How cool would that be?
I think that there could be some value in that. But again, this is coming down to an executive decision with 2K and forcing microtransactions in that sense, that every decision that they make is going to be based on that now. You know, because it is successful, because it is making them in the revenue, and also the fact that Strausnik gets those like the stock and bonuses and stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, it makes it hard to see them doing it because of those factors and that there's no chance. So, if they did, it'll absolutely blow my mind, but I just don't see it. I don't think the backlash has been big enough. Like, even after the whole 2K18 backlash, it wasn't enough. And look, the sales figures that we talked about last week sort of spoke for themselves, that, you know, it's already sold 9 million at a record pace. So for all the backlash that they received with 18, it did nothing. It didn't even put a dent in things in terms of things. So
we are the old men yelling at the clouds over this issue, I guess, because we're not the only ones complaining, but like you say, it's yelling into the wind basically, because it does continue to sell. It does continue to make great recurrent revenue. No, I agree. Unfortunately, it's very, very unlikely to happen, but oh man, I'd love it. I think it would be a tremendous show of goodwill. I think it'd be great for player retention as well, because people say, oh, okay, well, this player, I put a lot of time into it, but I can recycle them at the cost of losing that player. I mean, you don't get to keep the original player. So, and I guess you would still make some money off it, but off rebuilding it possibly. Well, 2K could. But it's unlikely, but man, would it be awesome if you could do it. And I think people would love it. They would actually try out different players once they got through. They'd say, well, okay, I'm fine with that player. I've had my fun with it, or I don't like it, but I'll try something else. And
the simple thing too that they need to do is, when they release the prelude, is allow us to try more than one build. One player, and you know that sucks. You know, it's a pointless demo in that sort of sense. And again, because we know that things are inflated to play in your advantage, to make you feel like you're OP and overpowered in the game, as opposed to when you actually get the retail version. We've seen that over the last few years, and X has been, you know, that's one thing that he's really picked up on at the last couple of years is, you know, they've definitely inflated things in your ratings and all that stuff in the prelude side of things, as opposed to the retail version and that. So,
yeah.
You know, that it's a bait and switch and that sort of element, and you know, we've talked about that before. So, yeah, it's that disingenuous thing makes it hard, and you know, and yeah, we need that chance to with the demo is find the right build, you know, so that way we can hit the ground running when the retail version comes. But we want a true 1-to-1 replication of what you play in the actual retail version, but with the opportunity to obviously play test and see what works for you and all that stuff. So if they did that, that would be a start, and that would be a feasible start where, you know, it wouldn't kill into any real microtransaction elements. You know, there's no chance of losing too much recurring revenue. Who knows? You might find two players that you get two builds and stuff that you might like in that early stage, you know, so there's the early adoption there. It's like, okay, well, I like these two builds. I can see them being like, one being for like more my career and more one being for like park and playground and all that streets element.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could sort of,
I'll dedicate myself to these two builds. May even buy some VCs so I can both update them both simultaneously.
Exactly. So you know,
there is a way that it could sell for 2K as well. It could be good for them as well as us.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully, not that we want to encourage, you know, force more microtransactions than that, but, you know,
we have to consider it, because they are going to. It's going to be a part of it either way. So
yeah. But, you know,
if we're making the pitch to 2K, we need to say how it's going to work for them as well, basically.
Exactly. Like when I was talking to EA in regards to, you know, when I was trying to explain adding features and modes and stuff like that, how it benefits in doing, like, the full circle thing. Obviously, 2K, the full circle thing is going to be how much more revenue can we make from it. So that's what makes them sort of a tick, and it will probably get their attention in that. So, yeah.
And the funny thing is they've obviously got the NBA 2K League, which is their esports league and a big deal because it's a partnership with the NBA and everything, and it's on Twitch. And I mean, a lot of things, anyone can go on Twitch, I suppose, but I mean, it's there on Twitch. It's a big deal, the 2K League, and they push it out and promote it and co-promote with the NBA. And I think they need to take cues from that because, as I've said before, the fact that they have a limited amount of archetypes for the 2K League is basically an admission that a lot of the archetypes in the retail game suck or are not viable. They're either overpowered or underpowered. I think that's basically an admission of that. So why not say, okay, well, we can see what works in a competitive setting. If we are going to replicate that competitive setting for the wider user base, and the fact that they are restricting us to 5 users necessary per side suggests that that's what they are doing, then they also need to take cues from the professional league, the esports league, and say, okay, well, this is how we make the game more competitive and balanced as well. I mean, if you're doing it for the pros, the plebs, us, we need to have that as well, I think, and I've said that before. So I think fixing up the archetypes is a big thing for online, and there needs to be more focus on that and the balance and matchmaking as well, as we've said before, being able to matchmake people. And I had a discussion on Twitter, a friendly discussion this week, from someone in the community posted their wish list for 2K Pro-Am and said, oh, well, Team Pro-Am should stay 5v5 as far as users, that's 5 users per side, there should be no AI, and sort of throughout the whole, if you want to play AI, go play My Career. And so I said, again, I wanted to keep it civil, and it was a civil discussion. And I said, for a lot of us outside the US, and even people in the US, Team Pro-Am just isn't viable for everybody with 5 users. Mm-hmm. And it's not that anybody wants to play with AI players, but as opposed to not being able to get a game at all, we've played all of 4 games of Team Pro-Am this year. And considering that we played over 500 in 2K17, that's an incredible drop. Even from 2K18, when we played over 100, that's an amazing drop, an incredible drop, a disappointing drop. You know, I can keep throwing adjectives out there, you know. But it's quite disappointing that they've done that, and it is gatekeeping. I do understand that people don't necessarily want to play with the AI players. So what he suggested, and what I agree with, is better matchmaking so that only 5 users get matched up with 5 users, and maybe 4 with 4 or 4 against 3, anything that's a bit more even, or 3 versus 3, etc. I think that's a fair compromise, but that does come back to having the deeper matchmaking for online, because that's the thing they need to do. Is there's a lot of different gamers playing online, the 4 different types that you talked about just as a start, if we want to categorize them, and really it's got to be open to everyone to some extent. And I know it's the whole get good and all this, and it's only for this, but no, online gaming, when you've got 9 million people playing the game, the online stuff needs to be fairly accessible to the wider user base. And then you break it down with matchmaking. That's when you separate your elite and your newbies, your noobs and your elite players. You separate them with matchmaking and rankings, not by keeping people out of the mode altogether.
Yeah, well, I was even thinking, like, in terms of this question, in when I was trying to come up with the answer, is when you set up your team in Pro-Am, there should be an option where you can either have it set as open, social/casual, or competitive.
Yep.
And that, you know, if you have it open, that way, you obviously, you know, you're flexible in terms of, you know, sometimes it would just be a match where you just find opponents straight away, but in terms of whether it's casual socials or competitive, it would be more dedicated matchmaking into that sense. So there could be an option like that. And, you know, that's one thing that 2K has been good at, is giving people options. My GM, My League, offline and online My Career modes. You know, there's that sort of thing. And an online My League and offline My League and stuff like that. So there is ways that, you know, they have shown that kind of flexibility and allowing people in depending on which type of modes that they like by having different variations of it. So, yeah, it'd be good for them to do that going forward. You know, that'd be probably a more easy fix in that sort of sense. Mm. You know, and you could have it too. Maybe your team might start off casual or, you know, sort of social at first, but you can have the option to later on change it, you know, whether you want to become open, so that way, again, more flexible if you want to become more competitive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, that'll be all in the sort of team manager side of things. You know, you can build up the experience first, get confident, get good, as the saying goes, and then...
Get good.
And then, you know, when you're ready to really dip your toe on the competitive side of things, that's when you can go for it. So I think that would be a good option. Again, whether they have the infrastructure and the plan to actually do something like that, whether the servers are capable of it, whatever it needs to be is capable of doing it. Yeah, but I think that would work in their favor.
I mean, whether it's feasible from what 2K's roadmap and their technology is concerned is one thing. But basically what you describe is exactly what Rocket League has.
Yeah.
Because you can choose whether you want to be the casual or competitive setting. And having played casual Rocket League online on PC, I can say that people still compete in the casual setting. It's just not ranked. And in this case, casual basically means unranked. Unranked and ranked. So you can choose unranked and ranked. You can choose whether you want to even play which servers you want to go on. So if you want to try your luck with overseas servers, you can do that. And that's a big thing, I think, for 2K, especially for those of us outside of North America. Because if you look at PC, for example, playing on the Australasian service of PC, I very rarely see anybody in the neighborhood, basically, when I've played on PC. I actually did get a game in the neighborhood on the playground last week. I actually was there in the playground and the neighborhood, I should say, and saw people on the playground and thought, you know what, I'm going to see if I can actually get a game on PC. And I did. I completed the game. Had a connection error, which wasn't my connection error, but that's 2K for you. It did still count. Unfortunately, it was a loss. It'd be nice if the loss didn't count, but whatever. But yeah, that was the first, I think, online game on PC that I've had all year. Whereas at least on PlayStation 4, on the Australasian server, we can jump on solo, you and I, or anyone else playing that we know, and we can get a game with randoms. May not be pretty good. We're not playing with someone we don't know, but we can get a game. But it would be even better if we could say, okay, let's open up the server, let's try our luck with the ping and can play worldwide so that you can choose competitive settings, casual competitive, worldwide or local server, or also to the other option that you have there, whether you want AI players or not. So you can choose in those flags as well whether you want to play against players, other teams that are using AI players. That way you never get matched up with it. So I think that, you know, you put those three options there in the matchmaking and in the team options, as you said, and suddenly that solves a lot of the problems and basically makes everybody happy, which isn't that what they're supposed to be doing with 9 million people playing the game?
Exactly. I think, too, like, there could be even a couple of things that they could do. Like, when I used to play indoor volleyball for about a year or two, in the comp that you played, if you won that comp, you got bumped up a division higher.
Yeah,
you know, maybe, you know, to sort of start separating when teams get good, you know, if they're in the social, if, you know, they win, you know, if it's really just a competitive team that's just trying to be a big fish in a small pond, you know, maybe after a certain amount of wins, they can get bumped up to a more sort of competitive league. And maybe they have like a two-tier aspect, you know, one will be, it'll be like an in-between step.
And Rocket League's got that as far as the ranking and everything.
Yeah.
So I think you definitely need that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't really stop people coming from the competitive side and trying to dominate the casuals. I mean, that would be gatekeeping the other way, basically, by saying once you get too many wins, you're too good to play casually or more socially, for example. So you can't do it that way.
Maybe you get asked once, you know, but after a certain amount of wins, it's like, okay, you've you know, especially if you win like 10 or 20 games in a row kind of thing, it's like, okay, we're going to bump you up to the second tier, which is, again, another...
Oh, yeah. And I think you can have deeper
and
tiers.
And you'll be more matched up to against opponents like that and that sort of thing. I think the other thing with regards to the CPU players and that, I think base minimum, you know, for the AI players would be an 80 or an 85.
Mm.
You know, they're competent. But you get to choose maybe one of three archetypes for the positions that you want to fill.
Yep.
You know, so that way you can find one that more suits the style of play that you guys play, but also fits within your team. And yeah, that definitely fits within your team. And that, but you know, they're not overpowered. You know, they're still a generic, but you know, they're confident in the skills that you need them to be to suit your play style. And that, I think that.
So they at least make a game viable. If you've got three versus three users and a couple of other CPU players, you can at least rely on the CPU players to do their job if they're not matched up with another user, for example. If, I mean, if they're matched up, if CPU against CPU, fine, they kind of cancel each other out. But it's when they go up against a user that they that it is a problem.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the AI players, you know, we've had some good AI players, but we've also had terrible ones that have, you know, where they can barely even catch the ball, or, you know, they turn over, they step out of bounds just randomly, or, yeah, you know, you want to minimize that, because that just adds to frustration. So, competent without being OP in that sort of sense. So, I think safe bet probably more an 80, like I said, you can choose, you know, potentially between three different archetypes that are for each position in that. So, yeah, I think that is a balanced system there.
Well, you look at the ratings of a lot of players online, and they're already over 85, basically.
Yeah.
And this is where a lot of the balance problems come in online, and it's only exacerbated by whether archetypes are broken or not, is that you've got all these players who are over at least 90 overall in most cases after a while. Everyone's been doing the grinding. So you go back to the old days of online basketball gaming when everyone's basically just using NBA teams. And everybody uses the championship team, basically, the defending champions. And that's a problem, and that was kind of unbalanced. But at the same time, none of those teams had... Well, I suppose maybe the Warriors now might possibly have all players 85 and above, for example. So that's very rare. You know, the 2019 Warriors are very rare as far as online balance is concerned. But even then, you've got to be able to sub out players. They can foul out, get in foul trouble. So you've got bench players coming in, have you not? Mm. So basically, you know, there's balance there, but simply by the fact that they're not all-star teams. Some teams are close these days, like the Warriors, but that's beside the point. But with the Pro-Am and the Playground, you know, everybody is a fantastic player usually, especially if you're a great online player and a frequent online player. You're probably going to be one of the highest rated players on the server, are you?
Yeah.
You know, I would imagine, because you play so much. So you've got the stick skills and everything, which is fine, but you've also got the really overpowered players, which you don't have when you're doing NBA teams versus NBA teams. Maybe, I suppose, when you go back to... There's similar problems with my team as well, because if people pay to get more packs, and they can afford to spend hundreds of dollars opening packs and packs and packs and the premium packs and getting all the great players, suddenly they've got the great team, which is why it was such a bad idea to have the whole situation to unlock the auction house, was to have to win those games. Like, well, yeah, that relies on being able to beat people who have paid to win, and also people not quitting and giving you the victory. So, I mean, that was a whole problem there, which they've kind of addressed. And it goes back to stuff like that, and we've talked about gatekeeping before. As far as the style goes, and there is a bit of a difference between the streets and playground and the more NBA-oriented side of things, like Pro-Am and Jordan Rec Center. We did have some pretty good games this weekend. The last one was terrible, but we had...
Well, the first one last night was terrible too, because, again, this all relates to the one person.
We should have won that game. And it went to... We had a double overtime game recently, which was really fun. And a comeback win that was fantastic, that comeback win. That was maybe the most fun we've had, at least just you and I playing without the other guys, that we've had this year. You know, that was a fantastic win. Because it seemed like we were out of it. We just came back and we were playing with some guys who knew how to play basketball for the most part, or at least a couple of them did. And the strategy was there, and, you know, setting picks and making the good passes and things like that. Whereas the other game that we lost, it was all about the one player just hogging the ball and trying to do too much. And it was okay when he was hitting shots. Like, you're like, okay, that was a terrible shot, but it went in, so we'll take it.
Yeah.
But then...
It was more game two where he was efficient in his shots, but he was taking... Yeah, he was just bored of it.
And it did ruin the experience. And it's really about, okay, are people wanting to play realistically online? Are they wanting to play... you know, the sim style? Are they wanting to play team basketball? Are they just looking to be player one? Pad stats and be player one in a mode where we're all got to realize that we're now playing as a team. We're not all player one anymore.
Yeah.
So that continues to be a problem. And it's this attitude of, you know, I'm going to go in the line and I'm going to dominate and I'm going to embarrass the opponent and you know, it's all about that and padding your stats and everything. And it's rare that you see people who are playing realistic basketball because the games don't always cater to that online. So, yeah. I mean, look how many games that we've lost by trying to play good strategy and we just get smoked by Zigzag Cheese and other exploits. And it's kind of like, we could do it as well, but it doesn't feel as satisfying for us, so it's...
Yeah, it feels cheap and cheating in a way, and yeah, it... I think the most sort of thing that we did was the timeout cheese where we did that a couple of times, was it 2 years ago, I think, and it was just more retaliation when someone did it to us. Yeah.
But that's the funny thing, is that a lot of online gamers will sneer at offline gamers, and that's the whole thing. I wrote a Monday Tip-Off article about it. They'll say, oh, you know, the offline players who think they're really good because they can beat the CPU, and like, well, online players who think they're really good because they just exploit cheese. You know, we can sling insults back and forth all day, you know, until the next game comes out. But, and I suppose we've both got a point to a certain extent. But can you really enforce more realistic play online these days? Because is that what people want? I mean, are people playing that way because that's how they want to play, or how they have to play to win? You know, that's the question, which I guess is hard to answer without just speculating. I mean, it comes down to each person themselves that we'd need to ask and poll people. But yeah, is it catering to what people want, do you think? Or do you think it's people just adjusting to what it is? Bit of both in some cases.
Yeah, I think a little from column A, a little from column B. But yeah, you still got those, like in, I'll say in the case of us, where, you know, we were trying to play properly, and yeah, we were, even that guy, that friend of us last night, you know, I think he was getting pretty pissed. Like, you could sort of tell that he wasn't getting too happy with what was going on. So,
because he was good. He knew what.
Yeah.
He was moving the ball. He was playing point center. He was, which I didn't mind because he was dishing off, and I was able to be a bit more of a shooter, and it actually worked for once. Was making threes. It was nice.
And it was funny because, yeah, we played against him and with him pretty much all weekend and that, because, yeah, we played against him on Friday, wasn't it? And
we did, yeah. And then we saw the username. And we're seeing a lot of usernames pop up in Walk-On that we used to see, or we're seeing a lot of familiar names, so there's a lot of people playing Walk-On a lot. And some of the names we've seen, we used to see in Pro-Am, Team Pro-Am as well.
Yeah.
So... Everyone's kind of been forced to that. So it's not just us.
Yeah, it was funny too, because when we were loading up in the rec center, the sort of waiting room, I guess, or lobby and that, you jokingly said, you mentioned that username's name, and within 3 seconds, his username...
He walked in the locker room, it was quite funny.
So I've clipped that, and I'm hoping that the audio from the mic is... clipped in that as well, so I'll have to go back and look. But yeah, that was absolutely hilarious, and just like speak of the devil sort of thing.
Yeah, it's like, well, I wouldn't mind playing with him again because he knows what he's doing. And there are people who do feel the same way as us, because we do see on Twitter, you know, people saying this, and obviously we've seen people trying to play a more realistic style in Walk-On, and not so much the playground. The playground's for fun, basically. I mean, we don't necessarily play, you know, some of them, what we do. That's when I pull out all my fancy passes. I bought all the packages I could for my player so I can do it. Because it's the playground. It's what you do. And actually, I think that's something that Live needs to address as well. And this goes back to something that Izzy said when he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, is getting the street animations out of the NBA side of things.
Yep.
That's something that 2K does quite well. Except for that ridiculous dunk you threw down in crunch time the other night, I tell you, of all the times. I mean, it was awesome because it made it, but it's like, I'm like, of all the times to throw that dunk down, probably wouldn't. Your coach probably wouldn't be too happy about that.
I think I would have given like all the coaching staff a heart attack and a half.
Yeah, right, yeah, that wouldn't have gone down too well with the bench on that particular one. But we made it and we won the game. So that was the main thing. But the playground is what it is. NBA Live, I think, needs to separate that a little bit better, especially. And I still think NBA Live needs to have more of a dedicated pro-am style. I know they've got Live Run and they've got 5-on-5 that's got the rules, but I think they need to go full-on separating streets and a live pro-am with live run becoming more what live pro-am could have and should have been with squads. And I mean, basically, they need something that apes what 2K is doing with pro-am.
Well, we'll say like sort of 2K17 level.
Oh yeah. I mean, put it that way. Certainly have it more like that in what they actually do. But as far as having that squad with jerseys and everything, you know, by all means, keep the streets and everything like that. But have that NBA side of things, because I think that's, again, comes down to variation and giving everybody what they want. And being able to have a game with fouls is important as well, because it's otherwise people just spam steal. And I mean, that is something that we really need to stress, is that what 2K needs to do as well is to cut down on those cheesy things like spamming steal, because there's really no penalty for it, or at least not for other people. For us, it seems to not work, but it's about getting that balance there. It's about letting people of all skill levels and approaches to online play be able to enjoy the game at some level, with that separation of people into different categories of, okay, you're the hardcore gamers, fine, we're going to have you here. You want the full NBA 2K League experience, we're going to give that to you this way. You guys are more casual or whatever, you know, you guys are a bit of a mix, give them the options. But as far as the core gameplay, I really feel you need to start with realistic gameplay and alter it from there rather than the other way.
Yeah.
So I still think, especially with the 2K League trying to be as successful as it is and being a spin-off of the Pro-Am mode, the original mode for us plebs does, I think, need to have a bit more realism in it. And I think that with so many players over 90 overall, you do need to adjust those archetypes and really gear the game so that it's not just about metagaming and, I know my animations. Because that's not basketball, and that could be any game. You know, that could be literally any game that you're playing online, basically. A fighting game, for example. Nothing wrong with fighting games online, or fighting games in general. But, I mean, I'm a bit more concerned about realism in NBA 2K and NBA Live than I am Mortal Kombat 11, for example. I mean, once you can stab people through the heart and they can continue the match... realism is sort of not the first priority.
Yeah, it's literally thrown out the window.
It's literally, you know, off with someone's head, basically. with basketball, with 2K, with Live, I do think there should be a bit more realism there. Not to the extent of maybe you would have in my league. I think, you know, for example, you know, my complaints last year about not being able to dunk as much, you know, with my player. I still think it's fun to be able to dunk more than a realistic amount in online, because I think that's exciting, and especially when people throw down a dunk like you did.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you definitely take your liberties with the amount of realism, but as far as the strategy goes, it shouldn't just be about, you know, repeat this cheesy strategy and take advantage of these mechanics that aren't quite polished or that are too overpowered or whatever to win the game. I mean, remember that game of Playground that we had where the guy was just dribble, 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 back out, 40-foot jump shot, swish. And you're like, and I'm doing my best to not get my ankles broken and to stay on him. Yeah. But I can't, because he's also lit with the takeover mechanic. So it's like, he's going to break my ankles because he's a sharpshooting playmaker. He's going to have his limitless range badge and everything. So once that's activated, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly. He's kind of screwed.
And that's in a 2-on-2 game as well. So because it's make it take it, you know,
or winner's ball.
Yeah, winner's outs. It's once somebody gets the takeover activated in a mechanic like that, and just doing everything they can, nothing you can do is really having any kind of an impact. What do you do? You just basically do your best you can and say, oh, well, this is probably going to be a loss, you know. and the fact we know how cheesy Playground can be, because we've had a couple of 22 or 21 nil victories over people, not to brag. I know it's, you know, because we've also been beaten that badly as well. We're not bagging here, but when we have won like that, how have we done it, Ben? We've been very cheesy. You know, it's just like you running around my back and me throwing you a lob at the rim or something like that. You know,
don't tell everyone our strategy. It's the only one we have. No.
The other one is there's one like basically creating a like an extra screen by doing a back down off the inbound. Have you seen that one as well?
Yeah, and the couple of ones that's worked a few times is sort of like fake going for the going to go around your back, and then I just, as they overcommit to it, is when I cut back to the basket. That worked a couple of times the other night.
Mm.
So, yeah.
And it's hard with some of the archetypes and everything, what you can do to actually stop it, unless somebody's got a very cheesy archetype.
You know.
And then you're matched up with a couple of, again, because there is virtually no matchmaking, you've really got to get either, you've either got to overpower your match, you know, you've either got to get two players or three players who aren't, can't really match up with your players, or at least are even, to actually get it. Because, again, if people have picked a couple of cheesy archetypes together, a couple of big stretch fours, or slashing stretch fours, or all kinds of things like that, you might as well not play, basically, if you want the game. We only played the five games to get the 3500 VC.
Yeah.
We're just trying to for some VC, which I guess neither of us need at the moment because we're at the cap breaker, but still, it was...
Yeah, I just reached my one, so I leveled up to a 91, so I got a long way to go now. I'm like about, I think after last night, so maybe about 6 or 7%
through. I'll give it 60% through, and at the moment I'm getting it about 1.5% at most per game. It's Yeah, it's a grind, but that's 2K for you. And then getting there on PC as well. I want to get to 90 just to get the Steam achievement and do that.
I just want to get to 92 so I don't have to keep going to the bloody Gatorade gym.
Yes, yes. And see, little things like that as well. Because anybody who is a 92 overall or above is at a tremendous advantage for not having to break the session. So there's little things, as we've said before, that you can do to bring some of that balance back to online and stop the busy work, I guess you'd call it. You know, of having to go to the gym and because that was the whole thing when we saw the gym, we're like, oh, you know, I really don't want to have to do that. And they said, oh, no, you don't have to do that. But for the boost you get, you really do.
Yeah.
So...
Because, your turbo just goes. Like when we played... Because after we played the five online games, we went straight to the rec center.
Yeah.
And I'd totally forgotten I needed to... And the first game wasn't too bad, but by the time I got to the fourth quarter, I was not able to really keep up at all. Like, it was basically... like grandpa walking it up the court.
Yeah.
It was like, it was not good. So I had to,
it makes a difference. So it's, it's one of those things that's not compulsory, but it technically, like you don't have to do it. You can, you can avoid team practices as well. You don't get penalized anymore. Like you did in 2K17, which I think was a better way of doing it. Actually, it made you at least go to the one team practice per week. You know, you could skip the extra sessions. Once you hit all the cap breakers and the doing work and you got to 95 overall, you could pretty much skip those, but you'd still go to the team sessions to get, you know, team chemistry and things like that. And,
yeah, and there's still, like, some cutscenes and stuff like that, and depending on, obviously, what year and what story and that, you know, whether it was interesting or not. Well, I was trying to think of something else. I had it now, I've forgotten it. Damn it.
About the about archetypes, or sorry, about the Gatorade Gym, rather?
I think it was in regards to that. Crap, no, I can't remember. If it comes back to me, I'll bring it back up. But yeah, it was just... this wasn't exactly it, but it was a point regarding, you know, when you had that Twitter conversation with the person about, you know, AI players and that. Yeah, the game does can end up having AI players when someone fails out or grades out.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a... defeats the purpose in a lot of ways. So,
and you can foul out as well.
Out or grade out. So, yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day, actually.
Or people just quit just because they're getting beat so bad.
Because they want to, yeah. At least now, I think if you quit, because X did it out of frustration and then had to wait 15 minutes or something to play again. So,
okay.
So they have done that this year, like an anti sportsmanship kind of thing, an anti bad sportsmanship, whatever. I was thinking. Do you think that the foul limit, because you can't sub, obviously, in Pro-Am, do you think the foul limit should be raised to something like, you know how in the rookie games, sometimes the rookie challenge, they had like a foul out of eight or something?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that, because I don't think you can take away foul outs completely, because otherwise people are just going to foul. It's going to get really, it's going to get really ugly then, and it's going to get really unsim if you do that. But if you raise it to, I don't know, 7 or 8, just to give people that extra... And I know it's already an abbreviated game with 5 minute quarters, but you pick up a couple of early fouls in an NBA game, you would sub someone out. You can't do that in Pro Am.
That's true.
So you reckon maybe that they should raise the foul out limit to, I don't know, anywhere from 8 to 10, just so that, you know, in the worst-case scenario.
I think, say, for potentially the four-quarter aspect, maybe keep it at the 6, but maybe for OTs you might get one more.
Okay, so like a 7 kind of situation, yeah.
Because, you know, we had that, take for instance, I got foul trouble late last on one game last night where I had like 3 or 4 fouls in the first quarter. So I was playing and I was on my 5th foul and we went into double OT in this game and I somehow managed to stay in. And there's times where I was trying to go for blocks and, you know, risking, especially when, you know, the game was getting on the line and they caused a rally back and that, and yeah, not wanting to get kicked out of this game and, you know, built up pretty good stats in terms of points and all that and rebounds. I think I nearly had a double-double that game too, so it was like 21 and 8 or something like that. And so, yeah, it was like... But yeah, there was a few times, and again, sort of came down to one player on the team not doing their job in terms of defense, and so it was like, yeah, trying to fill in and trying to help out when that help D, when, you know, they were driving to the opponent was driving to the basket and that. So I know I did risk fouling out quite a fair bit in that game, especially the last quarter and then the two overtimes. So I think maybe, yeah, do the 6 and then, like, because with overtime you get the extra time out. So yeah, maybe you can get the extra one.
Get an extra foul, get an extra, or get a foul taken off or whatever. Yeah. I mean, obviously this isn't Sim, which may sound a little bit hypocritical after we're talking about how to make it more realistic. But I think at the same time, the mode already takes some liberties with realism as it is.
Yep.
Also, for example, the defense being able to call timeout. You know, that's something that's not realistic already, which I guess you could really remove. But if you're going to take some liberties like that and allow that because people are going to be AFC or AFK, you know, if you're going to let that and have to take a few liberties or dunking more often... I wouldn't be against sort of having some different, slightly different rules, maybe having a 7 or 8 foul limit. I mean, you don't want to have it too high because otherwise, you know, people are just going to be abusing it a bit too much and it's going to get very ugly very quickly. Something I would consider taking away foul outs on the playground again because I know, I suppose it's done because... They don't want people, again, just fouling indiscriminately and ruining the game for everybody.
Mm.
But at the same time, it's the playground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you've,
no blood, no foul.
And you've already got a situation where you can get shooting fouls, but you don't get free throws because that's not street ball rules.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, the idea that you get 6 fouls and you've got to go off the court, maybe in the playground at least it should be 8 or so. Because I think in the playground, maybe it's a bit more acceptable to foul to stop.
Yeah,
you know, because I think you see that as well—the roughness of playground ball. Maybe it should be, you know, 8 to 10 or something like that in the playground, if not pro am. But then, that comes to the other point that you're trying to picking and choosing when you have the realism in the modes. Like in some ways, playground is not realistic at all, and then in other ways, it's got a rule like a foul out, and even in your own my court when we play the games, you can foul out.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Really, you should be able to set your own rules. I think house rules, basically, no foul outs.
Yeah,
you know, that'd be an interesting idea to actually for 2K to borrow from Live. Actually, you know, with court battles and everything, how they've got the different rules.
Yep.
That if you could have house rules in your own house rules in your my court, so you could say no foul outs or foul.
2K have their house rules mode and like
all they have events kind of, and they kind of have it as their version of a live event in the playground. Yeah absolutely. Yeah.
So you know, it's not like it's not able to be done in that, so yeah, I think they could, and yeah, the fact that they even call it house rules as their event and thing.
I mean, you talk about stealing ideas or borrowing ideas from other games and each other. I think these are the kinds of things, the little touches that they could be borrowing from each other, frankly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, they both have the same pro-am name, so.
Well, Live's gone away from it, haven't they? It's just gone down to Live Run and the Streets, Streets World Tour.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. But yeah, they did, all right, so they did have, sorry.
They did, yeah. It was originally Pro-Am, and I think Live just kind of slunk away from it after 2K beat them to the punch on that one, which is unfortunate, but it's the way it is. So, I mean, the players that we encounter online, and again, this is not about us saying that we're the the best players, we're not saying that at all. But as far as the style of play and the kind of people we encounter, you know, it is really good when you actually encounter both random teammates and opponents who want to play a really good game of basketball. And it's about playing basketball rather than having cheese. It feels like it's really reduced over the last couple of years. And again, we can go back to the archetypes being a big factor in that, because it wasn't as big a problem in 2K17. It is a shame that it has gone that direction, and it really does feel like it's the last couple of years. And again, it's strange because we've actually got the 2K League now, and yet you would think that would have a more positive impact on Pro-Am, but I don't know that it has, because I think that some of the best ideas that they're having for the league, they're not bringing back into the game.
Yeah, exactly.
And as far as the games, the other night, I mean, it goes back to what we're talking about with the patch for Live 19, how to punish ball hogs. I think both games need that, because it's just not fun when you've got a shooting guard or a small forward who's not even a point forward trying to play point guard, and especially when you've got someone like me who's a willing passer and a playmaker build. And so, you know, I don't need to get the assist. I love my assists. I don't need to get the assist or the basket, but I do my part in bringing the ball up and keeping it moving. And you just see when the ball sticks. And it's okay when they make the shot. You can live with the selfish play if it gets you the win, kind of. You know, you're like, well, at least got another win on the profile. But when it costs you the game, and it did, that second game was just atrocious.
The first and the second, really, because he not only was he kind of overshooting and kind of blocking, but he just had at least five or six turnovers, maybe more, because I know it was still fairly probably early in the second half when we saw that he had already had five turnovers.
Mm.
And we had a pretty good lead, and then he was doing his thing. And then second game, he shot the ball well, but he took a lot of shots. And by the third game, this was still sort of early to midway through the third quarter, I calculated he'd taken 18 shots compared to everyone else on the team's 15 shots.
And wow, that's right. You did,
yeah. And I was thinking, we might just have the edge by maybe we'd taken 20 shots as opposed to his 18. But when I calculated and did the math on it, I was like, no, he's taken more than everyone else combined. And by that time, it was I really didn't care. It took me out of the game. It took me out of the enjoyment of playing. And it was this was crap. There's no point of moving into position when he doesn't. Especially in the first game, I felt like when I started knowing this guy was going to be a bit of trouble, there's a lot of times where I had open cuts to the basket. No one was with me, and he wouldn't pass it. Probably on about three particular really clean occasions, I think there was a clear pass, and it was like, okay. Then the turnovers were happening, and then the bad shots. And I was like, okay, this guy's going to be that kind of guy. And then after that first game, I went out to go get a drink or something like that, and I came back or get some chocolate or something, and saw that he was still there. I was like, damn it. I was hoping he'd be gone.
But it was the other guy that left.
And that was disappointing because that player was a good player.
Yeah, you said the wrong guy left when you got back. Yeah.
And then, second game we got the win. And, you know, he did shoot the ball pretty well. But again, and it was the amount of shots that he'd taken compared to everyone else. There was one point where I think everyone else on the team had taken maybe three shots each. He'd taken 12 shots.
Mm.
He
was
point.
Making them in that second game, which was
a small
blessing, I suppose, but it was kind of like they weren't great shots. It was if they hadn't have gone in, he would have been taking a lot of bad shots and missing them. I know that's almost a Magic Johnson level tweet of if the shot doesn't go in, it misses. But I mean, he was lucky they went in, basically. We were fortunate that those terrible shots were, that he was good enough on the sticks to actually compensate for what he was doing. Because they could have very easily killed us, those shots, basically.
Yeah.
The way he was playing, if he hadn't made them, would have put us in a huge hole. You know, it was just lucky that he was as good on the sticks as he was, I guess is how I'd put it.
And again, in that second game, I think at again one point when I looked sort of, I think late in the fourth, I think he'd only missed four shots, so it was kind of forgiving. But yeah, in that, when I was doing the calculation in the third game, he was 10 of 18, so he only made 10 of his shots, and everyone else was had from for the most part a higher percentage on their shots. But you know, there'd be probably a couple of times when, you know, maybe the pass was too late, so they couldn't get a cleaner shot. I know that happened to me at least once or twice.
Well, that's the thing. We're not even talking about running plays and X's and O's as such.
Yeah,
it's just about hitting the open man. You know, as soon as you see that open man and you see the double team coming, getting rid of the ball and getting you making the quick pass when you see somebody leaking out on the break. It's not even running a play that's drawn up as such. I mean, that'd be nice as well. We gave that a try a couple of times in 2K18. But it's not even just that. It's just about making the right basketball play, as you can see, with basketball IQ and court vision.
Yeah. What was the scenario at the end where we mentioned about the basketball IQ? That was it our guy or their guy that just...
Oh, so it was, he was basically... First, he forced a shot that missed, and then he made one free throw of that, and that put us up by two. And then we forced a turnover, and that they were we had the ball, and he was dribbling it out and dribbling out the clock, but they were converging on him.
Yeah.
Oh no, that's right. No, we were up by one. Sorry, and he was trying to dribble out the clock, and like I'm open on the other side of the court. If he'd whipped it across,
that's right.
Me, 3 seconds left. If he'd whipped it across before the foul came, the game is over there in regulation. Yeah. But he kept dribbling because he wanted it or wanted the free throws or whatever. Got the free throws. Made one of two, so we're up by two. Then he made a defensive error, and they got a basket inside to force overtime. Basically, pretty much the last three plays that he had, a missed shot, dribbling it, over-dribbling and not passing and not letting us dribble out the clock and get the, you know, dribble out for the win, and then the defensive error at the end. Basically, we could have won that game in regulation. But that was the game we won, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was like the double OT win.
We did win that double OT. So, I mean, we got it.
I think so. That would have been game two.
Or was it? No. Because there was two double overtime games in the one weekend. So they're running into each other at the moment.
I think we won. I think we...
It was the previous... No, it was the previous one. We lost that second double OT game, remember?
That's right, yes. That's right, yes. We did lose.
And we said if we lose this game... you know, obviously we all made our errors. You know, none of us were perfect, but that final sequence, we could have held on a one. That was game one.
That was right. That was game one last night.
Game one, then game two we won, then game three was horrible.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, and it's things like that where, and you look at comments on Twitter or around the web, Reddit, whatnot, and you see people saying, oh, the game needs to be less realistic. And I guess it's people like that, you know, that don't really want to play realistic. They just want to hog the ball and get their stats and do fancy things and break ankles and everything. And hey, look, all that's fun. I mean, you've got a fancy dunk package for a reason. I wanted to be able to at least throw down some dunks for a reason. You know, we're not so stuffy that we can't have any fun with the games and everything has to be absolutely realistic online, because you can't expect that. It has to take some liberties once again. But... when it comes down to that, you know, people want the games to cater to this idea of it not being realistic at all, basically, or they want it to cater to this selfish style of basketball. They don't want it to be realistic. They want it to be, you know, oh yes, and I've got my takeover badge, so I can just run into a double team and do a turnaround jump shot, and in it goes because I want takeover.
Yeah.
What fun is that, really? And you can say, oh, but it happens in real life. You know, James Harden makes incredible shots. Yeah, he does, but not to the same clip that happens with takeover badges in the takeover in NBA 2K19. And certainly, I don't think there's not a whole lot of zigzag cheese. I mean, there's foot dragging step back cheese in NBA, the real NBA at the moment. But there's no like players who don't fatigue at all as they dribble around and run around in circles before tossing it up from 40 feet and making it. I mean, that's not a thing. Steph Curry's a great shooter, but he doesn't run flat out all game like that. He hasn't got his, you know, metaphorical finger on the trigger, on the sprint trigger all game. You know, he's human, you know. His shooting may sometimes seem like he's not, but he is, you know, he does have to catch breath like the rest of us. So it's disappointing to come across people like that, and I guess it's disappointing again when we've pushed so hard for years to have that realistic style of play, and that it's not. And then there's been that move away from it, and people actually now, you know, the younger people in the demographic, it seems, pushing for this different style, which is based on esports, I guess. You know, the whole idea that anyone can be a star if you master the mechanics, rather than whether, you know, who cares whether it's realistic or whether the player should be able to do it or not. Whether it's come down to that, and it's so hard to not gatekeep myself and sound like a grumpy old man when I say that, but it's just disappointing. Again, I keep coming back to that word, because we've seen how realistic the games can be, and not only that, but once again, because it is the same game, you can't really separate online and offline that much. Or if you can, they need to do that, because it's getting to the point where, the online cheese and everything is bleeding into the offline experience, and we're not getting that same sim experience offline. So it's got a game that we like 2K can really cater to so many people with all its modes and everything, but the gameplay is really starting to skew in one direction.
And it doesn't help that the animation system that they're doing isn't as fine tuned as it was in that. It's still very rough the last 2 years, and that given that they've sort of changed to the new motion engine and that. So yeah, it's.
Well, we've even seen that in the 2K League, how much it comes down to the animation that gets chosen. I mean, how many times have I whipped a pass to you inside and it's given you that slow turnaround layup?
Yeah, you know, or that fumble catch where, you know, it's like, really, from there you think, I couldn't catch that ball, that pass. It wasn't like, I have a mate, Chris, who used to do rocket passes. Like, they'd basically be like bullets, and you could be like 2 feet away from 3 feet even, and he'd still do these... And well, it was like those ones that would break your fingers.
The finger breakers. I was going to say, I know the people that know the exact kind of players you're talking about in real life. That's just,
to
my chest, and so I can catch it, not so that I'm.
Although if it hits your chest, then you're going to have broken ribs or bruises.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. To my hands, you know, the whole hand, and not at 150.
To the baseball mitt.
Not at 250 kilometers an hour into the fingers. Yeah.
One where you need a slow motion camera to be able to catch it, but yeah, or like the 120 frames a second kind of, or 320 frames a camera,
1,000 frames per second.
Yeah,
the slow mo guys. Yeah.
I think we've seen how slow the passing is in terms of things. Like, there's no way that ball should have been fumbled in those sort of scenarios. Yeah. So that kills the momentum. The other thing too, like this year's game, is I describe it as netball. There'll be for the most part like. Nearly, we'll say at least 75% of the passing, when you're sort of trying to be on the run and catch the ball and that, and it would be a netball pass where you just end up, as soon as you get the ball, you sort of, your momentum stops. Like, there's no attempt to try and continue, even though your left stick is still going in the same direction and you still got the sprint button going or turbo button going, you just suddenly stop, and it's like just ruins the fast break experience, or just an opportunity trying to get to the basket, or, you know, find an open shot in that sort of sense. So they really need to fix that. I think that's a big momentum killer for it. And I think too, like,
quite literally, yeah, it is, because there's so many times when you end up pulling up for the jump shot, when on the break, and you're like, you're running at full stride, you should at least take a couple of steps and be able to do a floater or something.
Yeah.
And it just picks you come to a dead stop and take a jump shot. Or if you do keep going, it picks the absolute worst animation as well. And I know, and it doesn't matter, if you're using the pro stick, you can be going right, left, up, down to trigger a certain move, but it's still, of the moves that it can trigger within that animation set, so many times it picks a bad one. And then, of course, you've got clipping issues and being able to elbow block and block with the armpits and things like that, which is still an issue. Body steals is really big. So, I mean, all that kind of stuff needs to be...
But we'll say up. That clipping isn't as bad this year. Like, we're not having, like, the... I did see a little bit last night, but it's not as bad where, like, you've seen some of the screenshots that I had from last year with the clipping where faces were basically... in other people's orifices and stuff like that.
You do see a lot of running in and the ball warping back and through. Like,
yeah,
it really seems random as to when you lose the ball.
Yeah.
And I mean, against the CPU, it happens a lot more. But even online, I feel like I lose the ball against defenders more than they do, and I don't know whether it can't be anything that I'm doing, because I don't hold down sprint all the time, because that's that way you do lose it. But no, it's there is the frustration there. But having said all that, having had our old man whinge, you know, if we are fixing the problem, it comes back, I think, to what we've talked about before, as far as balancing archetypes and making sure that every archetype is pretty much viable for online. I think you can take the liberties, as I said, with the amount of realism, but I think you still make it so that good basketball beats out trying to spam the same tricks.
Yep.
At least in Pro-Am. I mean, in Playground, if you want to have it a bit more casual, a bit more arcadey, I think that's fine. You know, we can adjust to that and play one or the other. You know, play what you like as far as whatever style suits you. Maybe a bigger stylistic difference between Playground and Pro-Am. And then bring back all the match... Sorry, not bring back, but rather implement all the different matchmaking. Having those options we talked about, whether you want to play against AI players, whether you are casual or competitive, you know, hardcore competitive or more social casual. And if people don't like the casual label, call it social. You know, call it something that's not going to have a stigma if it comes down to that. Whether you want to have, you know, ultra competitive or social league, whatever. And also, you know, whether you also want to go against people from overseas or whether you just want to stick to the server. Because some people, if you've got a good connection, it might work out okay. Might want to give it a go.
And if not, our NBN, not so much.
I mean, maybe, but being able to choose the region or regions you have. Because these are all things that Rocket League has. Rocket League has a fantastic esports league. So if 2K wants to emulate that with the NBA 2K League and the quality of it, you know, that I think that they could do a lot worse than to emulate what Rocket League is doing for both the home user, the plebs like us, and the pros and the 2K League. Take ideas from the 2K League as far as narrowing down the archetypes to ones that work, and I think properly test them. And also, I mean, again, I don't think they are going to, as you said, it would be really overly generous of them if they let us recycle players like that. But something like that would really help as well. And finally, just get rid of the gatekeeping, get rid of all that, and really focus on having that good online experience. And I think above all, Ben, prevent as much as possible, or have as much separation between online and offline as possible. I think there should be some mechanics probably should only be online, and some mechanics should only be offline, whether it's badges or things like takeover or things like that. Because some of them are just too powerful online and some of them are just too unrealistic offline. So if this can be a way that some of the mechanics get separated into the two, I think that would be a good compromise. And I think that compromise is needed because otherwise no one's really happy. I mean, obviously a lot of people are because they keep buying the game, but then maybe that comes down to live not being the alternative people need right now either. So like that, to that end, I should say live needs to lift its game as well. But I think you need to some extent, be able to cater to everybody because you've got 9 million, a user base of over 9 million people.
Soon approaching 10.
Soon approaching 10. That's becoming your standard numbers, anywhere from 7 to 10 million a year for 2K. That's a lot of people to lock out just so that you can cater to the top 1% or to a vocal minority that wants you to make the game more like NBA Jam. Which it shouldn't be. You know, you've got playgrounds for that. That's why you brought playgrounds under the umbrella. You don't need to go arcade. And for live, you definitely don't want to go any more arcade than you have now, and that's going to be really important with its gameplay patch coming out, is that live focuses on sim, because if live doesn't focus on having a bit more sim elements, it's not going to catch 2K, and it's not going to be the viable alternative, and that's unfortunate because it needs to be.
Yeah, exactly. You know, live needs to really step away from being bare minimum, bare bones, in that sort of way. It really needs to flesh out now. Like we stated last time, that it was building a foundation. The foundation is pretty solid enough now to really flesh out. And who knows if they say oh, next year, there's not going to be a next year with the community. We've already, these people's patience will fade away. So
already been tested for this pretty much this whole generation.
Yeah, well, and, nearly a generation and a half, really. So
yeah, and we can understand the limitations and everything. We've talked about that before, but it does come to get to a point where you absolutely have to bring it, and NBA Live 20 definitely does. And I think that was basically our conclusion of our trusting the process episode a couple of weeks back that you absolutely need to do that. As far as the community goes, Ben, I mean, by all means, feel free to build on what I said about the. From the developer's point of view, but there's only so much the developers can do because it does come down to the community, and yep. We can be pretty toxic, you know. Things like, well, we talked about it before, the whole continuing to play triple team, full court press when there's only two users left after everyone's quit or fouled out. You know, so you're still trying to run up the score and triple team,
stat pad,
and like really just make it really miserable for the other player who's trying to
eventually force the quit,
who's trying to hang on and just like, okay, let me finish the game. And you're just doing like real cheesy stuff and real kind of toxic stuff to really just make it unpleasant for them and just run up the score and rub it in, you know.
Or force them to quit because...
Or force them to quit out of frustration rather than just playing it out. You know, that's harder to combat unless you... I mean, do you also put in measures they're talking about with the Live 19 patch again, featured to combat ball hogs? Do you also do the same for bad sports? What counts as bad sportsmanship? You know, how where do you draw the line?
Well, you know, I wouldn't trust 2K's grading logic at the moment. So.
No, that's a good point, yeah. Sportsmanship, can't really have a sportsmanship bar based on the grading logic at all, no. So, I mean, we kind of have to police ourselves to some extent, but the game... I think if the game doesn't reward that kind of play, you've got to discourage players somehow. You can't stop it, but maybe you can discourage it. I don't know. Because, I mean, you're asking people online to play nice. You know, we've said it before. The reason that we were able to get along so well when you were multiplayer gaming back in the 90s is you were within punching distance of somebody else's couch.
Exactly.
So, you know, you had to play nice or you didn't get the invite back. Or you got a punch in the mouth, possibly, depending on how patient your friends were and how much of an obnoxious jerk you were. So, but you don't have that online. You know, you've got anonymous people. You can be as much of a dick as you want, basically, unfortunately. So, yeah, how much can developers do to combat it, and how much of it has to be on us to wake up as a community and think, geez, we're really toxic, especially when you look at somebody like the Rocket League community that tends to be a bit friendlier, at least on PC in my experience. You know, how do you really police that? Do you need a bit of a report system? Because again, people...
Electroshock controllers.
Yeah. Well, I don't remember you saying that, actually. Yeah. But people will abuse a report system as well. You know, they'll just report people... They'll just report people for beating them too badly or just because they think it's funny, you know? I mean, this is... Online gamers, you look at all the swatting and all that kind of garbage that's absolutely reprehensible. That, I mean, that's a whole other level of garbage, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, that's how toxic we can be, or, you know, we collectively as gamers can be when it comes to online gaming. So maybe self-policing is not going to be that effective. Maybe we do need some more measures, like what they're trying to do with Live's ball hogs measures, whatever they turn out to be. Just to get people to play a bit nicer online and to try and force them into that style of play that's not utter cheese. Because every time they talk about getting the cheese out of the game, the cheddar sneaks back in.
Yeah. And, you know, they went on a whole thing, was it 2 years ago, cheddar free?
Yeah.
And it's nothing but cheese whiz.
It's been a lot of cheese since, yeah, and it's...
Well, even then, it was cheese whiz. Well, whether really you'd consider cheese whiz to actually be real dairy and not overprocessed.
but how many times can zigzag cheese come back into the game before before it finally comes up? I feel like they may have given up on it because I think, again, people just ask for it to come back and say we need to do this, and they're like, oh, well, that's kind of what they're saying. So, I think, Ben, it's getting to the point where I feel like I want to get to Hall of Fame in my career this year. And I think NBA 2K20, I think I'm going to have to go back to being an offline player because it's just, there's been too many sessions where I'm like, this is not for me or this hasn't been fun. And yet I'm still drawn into it. And that's what really frustrates me about myself is that as much as we complain, there's still something that draws us back in, which means that there's something to the mode that's really fun. And that's the frustrating part, is it not?
Yeah.
Is
that there's that element of the X factor.
We know how fun it can be.
Maybe what we need to do is just generally when we get on, like, it doesn't matter which game we're playing. Like, if we could be playing Fortnite, we could play Fallout, we could play Last of Us, we could play freaking Donkey Kong. You know, it's probably if you just get online and just do a chat and just play and just talk and joke and drink and do whatever, that kind of element, that is probably what, yeah, that's probably what we're, the factor that we would be missing. Like, and that, you know, that was
more of a hangout than anything else. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's our social hub, and it, I guess it doesn't matter what we play, you know, as long as, you know, we have that banter and joking and stuff. And yeah, because all of us have busy lives or not live close by, or, you know, it's inaccessible or family stuff. So yeah, it's just hard for us to get to all get together and that. So this is our way around it.
Mm.
So yeah.
And it was nice to have the basketball element to it as well. So,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
I suppose too, what could be also the X factor is that shared experience element. And I think, you know, it's like the moments like that dunk, for instance, it's like, did you see that play kind of thing? You know, that is like everyone sort of, yeah, you know, so it's things like that that probably would be the other draw card aside from the social factor.
It is, and it's something we have enjoyed when the game has been more enjoyable, basically. Mm. We've had fun with the games, and it's why we keep pressing ahead. But I do think that maybe next year, this year, 2K20, that I will perhaps give that away. I mean, we got hooked on it after 2K16. We've given it a pretty good go. And it depends what they do. I mean, I feel we've thrown out some ideas here that could really balance the game, bring a bit more realism back to it, certainly bring the balance, get rid of the gatekeeping, things like that. It all comes back to this direction they've had. But at the end of the day, I mean, we could be the vocal minority here, and that's what I'm starting to fear. As you know, I use fear in the sense of being disappointed in a video game. You know, that's not taking me out of context here, but it's what I get the feeling may be the case, is that we are the dinosaurs here, we are the old heads. It is now looking to be, you know, something that's something else, something that we haven't necessarily asked for or wanted, because we pushed so hard for years to see the more realistic game, and now it's gone in the other direction.
Yeah.
Or so it feels. But yet the game still does well, so it's people are still enjoying it. I mean, you see people speaking out, but I suppose it's always the case of that people are, when people are upset, they'll speak out. When they're happy, they say nothing. So for all the people that are angry and speaking out, there's so many more that are just not saying anything. I mean, sometimes there's the back and forth of people who disagree, and haters and fanboys and back and forth and all that kind of flame wars and everything.
And trolls and, yeah.
And trolls and everything. But at the same time, there's probably just a lot of people who are more or less satisfied and playing it. Are they casuals? Are they the new demographic? You know, are they the new core demographic? Are we now on the fringe? Yeah, it's it feels like we may be, but it's hard to say, because some people, at the same time, some people just throw up their hands and don't bother to complain, because they think, what's the point of complaining? What's the point of saying anything?
Nothing happens, no change.
Nothing changes. Yeah.
I was just sort of thinking, too, like, in regards to when I was saying, you know, that did you see that moment? Was it last night's game? Because it was definitely in one of the OT games where it was that player went for the shot, the rebound was wide, and it must have been just in that last, like, 0.1 of a second, the tip-in of our player got it in.
That was a Friday night, yeah. That was a really exciting victory. Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that keeps us coming back as well.
Yeah, because that's right. That was a game where I said, oh, that other team must be pissed because they probably thought they had it, because that was the comeback game. So
I'd made a couple of errors, a couple of turnovers at the end, and I thought, oh, I've cost us the game here. And then a couple of shots went in, and then we had the last shot to make it, and it shooting guard missed the three, but our center cleaned it up. And got the tip in, and that was a very exciting win.
Oh yeah, that was like nearly like get out of the chair moment, because it was literally, yeah, like I said, it would have had to been like 0.1, maybe 0.2 seconds left when he hit that. But actually, like
it was bouncing around the rim as time expired. Yeah,
yeah,
because I was like, did he get it off?
Yeah, oh, yes, that's right. Yeah. It went to the camera cut, and it was like, because yeah, they didn't get a chance to even inbound it, so the siren had actually gone. But yeah, I was just thinking when the actual tip happened, it would have just had to be at that point one, maybe point two, like if like the contact for the tip in, and that
I have the footage. Yeah, I'll upload it. So
that was worth saving. I think I saved the last 10 minutes of that game, just or maybe ten minutes, just depending if I didn't do a save like of a play that happened beforehand. So, but yeah, that was an exciting game, and that was one of those ones we were talking about. Like, did you see that moment? And I was like, yeah. So that just came back into memory. It's like, I was trying to remember, was that night one or two?
I think that was night one from memory. Yeah. And look, that's what you want out of virtual basketball, out of virtual hardware. You want to have those moments, just kind of like the real sport. I mean, that's why we wanted having the deep franchise mode, so that we could have all the trades and the draft and the free agency and everything that we see in the real NBA. And now that we have these prime modes, these online team play modes, we want to have that celebration with each other playing online. So it still happens, obviously, because I think this has actually been as much as maybe as negative as we've come across in this podcast. And hopefully it's, you know, people will hear us and realize we're trying to be constructive about it. But I do actually think this is probably our best weekend in some time. Playground aside, Playground was kind of garbage this time around because it was all cheese. But Playground's never been our bag. Although, as you said, sometimes it goes back and forth. Sometimes it's Playground. Yeah. Sometimes it's Playground. Sometimes it's Pro-Am.
Yeah, which is, yeah, we were making that observation that, yeah, one night it would be Playground's actually more fun than the Rec Center and Walk-On and that. So, yeah, it was a surprise in that sense. But, yeah, I think definitely this weekend it was definitely Prime was more fun. And, yeah, when we did the park stuff, that was definitely just to get the 3,500 BC. Yeah. And it was probably like...
We were counting down.
4,500. Yeah, it's because of the games and the BC that we earned from playing those games. So, yeah,
fill the coffers a little bit.
Yeah,
so it's all worth it in the long run. Builds up the balance again for when the next cap breaker finally comes around.
Mm.
You're still kind of undecided whether you get 2K20. It's kind of the really happy.
I think, given the current status with the guys, I think I'll probably give it a miss. I mean, yeah, there'll be an element of maybe wanting to finally get my hand and do like my league, but I definitely don't want to pay the price, like that much price for it. I mean, if I got it, maybe the $39 like I did, I could consider it. But
I think maybe what we should do is play a bit more offline this year. I'll play a bit more my team and maybe start a bit of a my league, and maybe you can, you know, do the my league as well and such, and play with some of the retro teams and everything. Actually, speaking of online, I think the game we played against each other to get you the badge, the trophy, for playing Inception in your own my court, that might have been the best game of the night in some cases.
Yeah, well, actually, yeah, when I was talking to you, or when we were playing that, I realized that was the first Play Now type game that I've actually played for 2K19.
Because yeah, you've just been doing the grinding for the player, yeah.
Yeah, and so, and obviously, again, I bought the game late. I only got to play it for like 3 or 4 days before going down to Victoria for like 4 months. So, and just when I got back, it was just constant grinding. So, yeah, that was the fun, or the challenge in that was A, the camera angle, getting used to that. B, getting used to the players, different shot timing.
And, oh yeah. Sean Marion.
Yeah. So for me, I was mainly playing catch up for that game because I was trying to adjust those two things. In that sense, and losing where, you know, when I'd switch player, when I'm pushing X and all that stuff, and just then finding where the player was and who I was. You know, so, yeah, that threw me out for a little while. I did get better towards the end, but yeah, it took a little while it took really the first half to sort of start to get used to it and then find the camera angle that I was happy with, and just basically adjusted to the 2K one that I used for my career. And
yep.
So, yeah,
But maybe we should do that. Maybe we should just, once I'm done with my career, once I get to the Hall of Fame, you know, qualify for the Hall of Fame, I'm thinking for the rest of this cycle, for this life cycle of 2K19 and Live 19, you know, I'll just try and play other things and see how I like it and really get used to that. And then come Live 20 and 2K20, hopefully both the game modes, the offline game modes, will be to my liking. And maybe, you know, I recommend maybe doing the same, just seeing, okay, take a break from the mode, you know, because you haven't really enjoyed my career. I've enjoyed my career, but I'm kind of over it. at this point. Yeah. And I know for you, it's basically just been about grinding your player, so it hasn't really been fun. So maybe give my league a go and just see if you enjoy doing that, and maybe say, okay, well, if it's going to be like this in 2K20, you know, stick to that rather than having rather than going with online. Because I think probably all of us are going to take a break, because it doesn't seem like any of us are really that into online anymore. As much as we still play, I think out of habit and out of wanting to get on and chat to each other.
Yes,
you know, it would be great if they make some changes, and I guess it'll be worth looking into next year, but or later this year, or you know, next game. But maybe this is a sign that we are outside the demographic. And
if they make the pro-am side again a little bit more accessible, like it was in 17,
yeah, definitely,
I might consider it. And you know, if everyone again, if they do the thing where we can really test builds beforehand, and like I was stating with the Prelude stuff, get to try different builds and not get locked out as soon as you played it once, then yeah, I think there might be a chance, you know. And if it draws the other guys back in, but if it's not, the game's not going to draw the guys back in, I definitely not see it being played for. I'll consider buying it again for
offline,
like PlayStation 5,
right?
When that launches. So yeah, because I'd be interested to see what the new hardware brings, how obviously the fidelity element, and if they've changed, you know, done all these improvements, or if they've just kept on to the legacy issue outside of things, or you know, the current just basically just transitioned and not built anything from the ground up for the next generation and stuff like that. So if they kind of just shortcutted things, and you know, that goes for both games, by the way. It's not just trying to refer this to 2K and that, which game better adjusts the next generation and all that stuff. So yeah, I think,
which will be a big thing for Live, because that's been its fall, but its downfall, I should say, the last couple of generations. So that's going to be crucial.
Yeah, so I think that's probably where I'm at the moment. I might try a little bit of the My League stuff, but I think with me for at this point, it will be a determining factor whether I still continue playing much. I'll try and get to a 92.
Mm.
So that way, you know, if we did play still a couple of games online here or there, give or take, up until the preview season, or when the probably demos come out and all that stuff, that, you know, I don't have to constantly be out going to the catering gym. But I kind of want to get my player as high as possible, and I do want to play a 12-minute game, and I want to try and see if I can outdo the 129-point game.
Yeah.
That's just sort of like a little goal that I just want to try and do.
What Valor's top score this year. Mine's 107. That's my record for my career. So that's I think he's got about 112 to 120. I'd have to have to double check our group to see that. But
I know with my, like, I know I haven't really tried topping it the last couple of years, because when I've been playing my career, you know, I've tried, even though I'm maybe like a slashing defender kind of player, and that I've actually tried being essentially a point guard in a lot of ways. So, you know, I've been trying to go for rebounds and assists and trying to get the triple doubles and that type of stuff. So it hasn't always been just about trying to get to the basket. And this might be the tricky thing, is like, again, because my player is really only effective close to the basket, so not having a 3-point or really a mid-range game will make it tricky to try and get to that 129 point. So I think if I had a second build where it was a bit more sort of probably like what the Vince Carter build in Live at 19, and that, you know, you can attack the basket but you can also shoot the three, if I had that kind of build, which I'm kind of resenting not doing, like I should have thought ahead.
Speaking of which, I do think Live needs better icon paths as well. I think they may need to move more towards having the positions and different archetypes, different play styles there.
Yeah. So yeah, I think if I had that kind of builds and stuff like that, I think I could definitely do it. So I know it would be a challenge, and I know that given, I think why I'm sort of over constantly having to go to the gym is I know my player has to use a lot of the turbo sprint, because I have to constantly keep moving, otherwise I'm just ineffective. It's just basically
netball, basically.
Yeah. Well, just a dead man on the court. It's just taking up space and not being effective, and especially given that, you know, the players will basically stick to you like Velcro and all that stuff. It's you know, when you try and move even just normal pace and stuff like that, or sprint. So yeah, my player needs to constantly move, and I know I just go through the turbo or the sprint just like that. So yeah, where, you know, it's not like a player that can just sort of catch and shoot and stuff like that, or, you know, stay in the corners and all that stuff. I have to constantly be moving. So I know that's why I'm always looking if I need to go to the gym compared to all you guys all the time, because yeah, I think that's what hurts my player in that my build and that sort of thing is, yeah, that constant movement.
That mechanic, it needs to go. Like, I'm glad they turned it down from 2K18 to lasting for 5 games before you have to do it again. But I think it needs to go. And much like our other suggestions, you know, I hope that they will be considered. I hope that we're not in the minority of gamers. I do see other people saying the same thing, so hopefully they will take it under advisement. Certainly I put it into our wish list that I sent through to 2K some time back, so we can but hope. I guess the ball's in their court as far as that's concerned, but the ball's in our court as well as far as how we approach the game, whether we are going to be toxic with each other, and I think that's something we could work on as a community. I don't know how you can do it. You know, maybe a lost cause trying to do it, but we can all do our part in that respect. Or indeed, we can vote with our wallet and not get the game at all, or just choose another mode. And I suppose at the end of the day, that's just what we've got to do. We've got to stick to what we're actually enjoying, because we're going to spend the money on the game, especially every year. We want to get our money's worth. You know, it would be
exactly
foolish to do otherwise and to force ourselves to not play something we like. But having said that, I'm sure we'll be playing more online in the near future. But hopefully some more. Hopefully the experience is a bit more like the best games from the other night and not that last game.
Yeah, like even actually after the second game last night, I was actually, especially again because of the certain player, I was ready to go. I was like ready. I mean, I know we got the win in that second game, but I was right ready to sort of go.
One too many. That's our problem. One too many.
Yeah, and so yeah. It happens, so yeah. But it's frustrating when you got teammates, and again, the guy that ended up friending us on PSN and that, you know, you could tell he was interested in playing simple. You know that we'd probably get along because, you know, the play styles that we were playing and worked together in that sort of sense. So that was cool to see. And yeah, like I said, you know, we had him as an opponent the first time we played him, and then yeah, we had him for teammates the second night. So that was kind of cool.
I guess the bottom line is, if you're not catering to everybody, to all of the different groups and categories of players, sim and casual and mixtures of both and ultra competitive and social, you end up alienating people, or maybe even a majority of fans. And we look at that Reddit post that talked about the MMOification, hard word to say, of 2K. How long till the bubble burst to the majority of fans, possibly saying, we've had enough of this. This is going in a bad direction, and they've got to pull back again. We saw it a little bit with 2K18 to 2K19 with some of the microtransactions, but I think the next step is getting that gameplay for everyone, because you just don't want to have the gatekeeping. That's not good for the games. It's not good for the experience, and I don't think it's good for the 2K League either, because you alienate people, they're not going to watch.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look at the situation that... rumor is saying that, you know, that the, you know, next normal Call of Duty game that was supposed to come out next year isn't going to be able to meet its normal deadline, and that, so they've had to, they'll be working on another Modern Warfare or Black Ops or something like that. In the meantime, they were going to release that like a year earlier. So, you know, because they kept trying to change things, or things aren't working well in development or whatever, they, you know, trying to constantly change the market and to, you know, trying to catch like Fortnite and stuff like that, and you know, that's potentially losing a lot of people, or getting, you know, so there's things that could happen like that could, you know, hurt 2K and even EA in the long run as well. I mean, we've seen it with EA that, you know, the constant rebuilding element. So
no one too big to fail. I mean, EA pretty big, a big name for many years. But you know what, Ben? If the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is towards nothing else, it's that you can go back and change things, apparently.
Yeah,
so it's never too late to make changes. So that's pretty much all we have for this week's discussion. We hope you enjoyed it. Let us know what you think about online play, whether you've been alienated from it in recent years, or whether you enjoy it more, whether you find yourself being more of a sim gamer these days, less of a sim gamer. Yeah, basically any opinions you have about online play and simulation and casuals, and filthy casuals and and nerdy hardcore sim heads and everything else and all the other insults you want to throw around. Actually, you know what? Maybe keep it civil. We've had enough toxicity in the community, but let us know what you think either way.
Or has the game become too much of a Barbie game? And speaking of Barbie games, some of our apparel is available on TeePublic.
Check out the news post for more information or the thread in the forum. As for the podcast, once again, we hope you enjoyed listening to this week's discussion. If you did, we invite you to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on various podcatching apps, including Podcast Addict and Stitcher. Search for the NLSC podcast logo, that will be us. Or keep streaming on the NLSC itself. As we always say, as long as you're enjoying the show and tuning in each and every week, that is the main thing. You can also connect with us on social media. On Facebook and Twitter, we are the NLSC. On Instagram, we are NLSC Basketball. On YouTube, we are NBA Live Series Center. And of course, keep it locked to the NLSC itself, nba-live.com, for everything we do for basketball video games. But yes, that will do it for episode number 286 of the NLSC podcast. Thank you once again for tuning in. Until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm okay.
Go get buckets, everyone.